In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are journeying through the book of Exodus. Currently, we're in chapter 23, verse 14, and God is going to speak to Israel, particularly to the men, about some festivals that they must attend. Let's read at verse 14. Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Now this is repeated in Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord. And then these festivals are listed again. Now when he says my sacrifice, I believe the text is referring to the Passover. But it also could be all sacrifices except the Thanksgiving offering. Now, what you may not realize is that these are three of seven festivals of Israel. And the festivals of Israel are actually prophetic. That is, that each of these events point to the person and work of Christ. Let's review those together to understand what they are and their connection to Christ. Now, the first festival of Israel is the Lord's Passover. That was done on the 14th day of the first month at twilight. And it was a lamb. Now, Christ literally fulfilled that. He is the Passover lamb. Now, let's go to the second feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This takes place on the 15th day. That is right after Passover of the first month. And 7 straight days it continued on. And it's unleavened bread. So when you think of unleavened bread, think of crackers, all right? Your Wonder Bread, your loaf of bread, that's leavened. It's all puffed up. So for 7 straight days, they're going to be eating crackers, all right? Now, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there's a holy convocation that takes place on the first day and the seventh day. And that simply means everyone gathers together. And it's also, timing-wise, the start of the barley harvest. And again, this is one of the three that the men are required to attend. Now, the third feast is the Feast of First Fruits. This is the first harvest, and it's a grain and lamb is offered. And this pictures the resurrection of Christ. Absolutely amazing how these were fulfilled literally on those days. Now, after the Feast of First Fruits comes the 50th Day Feast. And that should be a clue. We're talking the Feast of Week, or known as Pentecost. Now, on the Pentecost, this Feast of Week, they have 2 wave loaves. So they take these loaves of bread and they make a wave offering. It's baked with leaven. And I just want to take a moment here to digress because this is important. So you take these 2 loaves of bread, all right, on Pentecost with leaven. That pictures Jew and Gentile. I believe that's exactly what it's picturing because on Pentecost, the new covenant is inaugurated and Jew and Gentile come together. And guess what? We still have sin. Also, there was 1 kid of the goats and 2 lambs. This too was a holy convocation and this was required. Now, the next feast was the Feast of Trumpets. This would take place on the first day of the 7th month. This, too, was a holy convocation. And so trumpets would be blown and everyone comes. Then after the Feast of Trumpets, not much further, the 10th day of the 7th month. So 9 days later is the Day of Atonement. That's, of course, when the great high priest on Yom Kippur makes the great sacrifice, goes into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for all Israel. That's the Day of Atonement, and that was also called a Day of Affliction to make people reflect on the solemnness and seriousness of the nation's sin. Now, The Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the next one, Feast of Tabernacles, have not been fulfilled prophetically. There's some debate on the Feast of Trumpets, whether that represents the rapture, potentially, and then the kickoff of the tribulation. Others see this as more the gathering of the elect at the end of the tribulation. We don't have time to debate that, but those are the two primary positions. The Day of Atonement, there's not too much disagreement on that. The two main ones is, one, this is when Israel, at halfway through the tribulation, will look upon whom they pierced, and they will be redeemed. Zechariah 13:8, two-thirds will perish, one-third will be saved. The others see this as the sheep and goat judgment. Those are the primary two fulfillments people are thinking of. But this third one, the Feast of Tabernacles, there really is no debate. It's on the 15th day of the seventh month. 7 days of offerings made by fire. It's a holy convocation on the first and eighth day, and they dwell in booths. And this was required. Now, what did this picture? This pictures the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ from the throne in Jerusalem. So there you have it. The seven feasts of Israel, all picturing prophetically the person and work of Christ. Now, the next phrase, you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk, may leave you scratching your head. What's going on with this passage? Exodus 34:26 repeats this. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Deuteronomy repeats this expression in 14:21. You shall not eat anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the alien who is within your gates, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Now, there's four possible interpretations on this. Number one, it's a pagan practice, and therefore, God's saying, I don't want you to be like the pagans. Don't do it. Don't do it at all. Second, and I lean on this one, it's the joining of opposites. You have milk, which is life, and boiling of the kid, death. And milk is supposed to be life for this goat. And so to do that just sends the wrong message. Possibility three, it's a mercy to animals. There is something to be said about the body and how it changes through nursing and so forth. And so this may be a necessary time span for the mother to nurse in order for the body to move to the next stage after the pregnancy. And possibility number four, prevent the consumption of blood. And the idea is that through the birth and all that, this animal may have blood and so forth. And so it just wouldn't be appropriate because the Jews were forbidden from consuming blood. Though we're not certain, it certainly makes sense that the first two are probably the reasons why. Now, as we look at this, these seven feasts, don't lose sight that this is happening throughout the year. And it's worth spending time going on the internet and just trying to get a feel for when these festivals take place and what was going on in the agrarian culture at the time. And so to kind of give you a feel for this, Passover happens during the month of Nisan, as well as the unleavened bread and first fruits. And that typically happens March, end of March, early April. And then you have Pentecost, which takes place in the month of Sivan, and that typically is around May. Then you have the growing season, and it's not till the end of the growing season that the Feast of Trumpets kicks in, which is our time around September. Day of Atonement Tabernacles also take place in the month of September, usually may lean over to October. Now, there are a couple other festivals, but they're not prophetic festivals. There's the Feast of Dedication and Purim. So be aware of those differences. Now, let's move to the next section, where God sends a messenger. We're going to move to chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the numbers of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hivite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare for you. Now that's a lot to read, and let's cover this briefly. All right, so first we discover this angel. And this angel has a purpose to keep Israel, to guard them. That's what it means in the Hebrew. And to bring you, to lead. So this messenger will guard and lead. It's a beautiful picture of submission, our submission to God. Does not God guard us and also lead us? So what happens, Christian, when you rebel against God, when you don't follow his lead? Are you not breaking rank and opening yourself up to his chastening and to the enemies? This is so important that God is teaching Israel and showing us the importance to understand that God also guards us and he leads the way. I remember the first time I heard the gospel, as they were sharing the gospel and it was all over, and I'm an unbeliever and I'm trying to grasp these spiritual truths, and I said, so it sounds like what you're saying is I've got to submit to the Bible, I've got to submit to God, and I got to turn from sin. In other words, allow God to guard me and lead me. And I said to the evangelist, no, thank you. Frankly, I don't want to submit to God. I'm certainly not interested in reading his Bible. And well, sin, I kind of like it. And I'll tell you where that led me, into nothing but trouble and destruction. Well, there's more to cover in this passage, and I'm looking forward to joining you next time as we go through Exodus chapter 23, focusing on God's messenger and how he's there to help Israel through the wilderness. So, in closing, the next couple of days, ask yourself, are you allowing God to lead you? Are you coming under his protection by being obedient to him and his word? Are you submitting to the Spirit? And are you truly showing others how you are submitting? Because the bottom line is, when someone looks at you, do they see you as one who's submitting to God and his word? Or do they see you as just someone else in the world, living his own life, living her own life, for whatever you want to do? May we be a people that is led by God and his word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.